This week on Texas Scorecard Radio, in the news, a new poll shows Texans are united on wanting more say on property taxes, and a video has come to light exposing some capital fake news. In our interview, we're joined by State Representative Jonathan Stickland, who'll tell us about how the legislature is passing bills without debate and what you can do about it. And we'll close with a commentary from Michael Quinn Sullivan on how voters want promise keepers. Welcome back to this week's episode of Texas Scorecard Radio. I'm your host, Tony McDonald, coming to you from the 1836 Studios in Austin, Texas. You can find us on the web, www.texasscorecard.com. Lots of articles going up there. You can find me on Twitter, social media, at TweetTonyMac, if you want to find out my general musings about things. To get the news started this week, I've got Carrie Cheshire, Vice President for Texans for Fiscal Responsibility. Y'all are out with a new poll this week. Taxpayers want to have control over their taxes. Surprise.
Yeah, that's right, Tony. It's not very a surprising kind of result of this poll, but it really is providing real data to what we've been talking about with property tax reform. Kind of the broad sense of the poll, 96% of Texans, and this is Texans, Republicans, Independents, Democrats, Libertarians, Green Party, Black, White, Polka Dot, believe that the current property tax system by which your county commissioners or school board or city council can raise your taxes up to 8% a year without requiring voter approval is not a good system for Texans.
Yeah, so 96% of people want some kind of change, some kind of property tax reform. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the Capitol. There's a bubble that goes on there. I think even the legislators would probably concede this, that there's a bubble there, that their perspective on things is not always grounded to what's going on with regular Texans. And so in the Capitol, they're talking about trying to give voters more say over property tax increases, and they're fretting over the numbers. Okay, is it 2.5%? Is it 3.5%? Is it 8%? Is it 4%? The poll kind of suggests, folks think, anything. We should be voting on any tax increase.
Yeah, that's kind of the majority takeaway of this poll. Of course, right now, under current law, they can raise taxes up to 8% without requiring voter approval. Even then, if they pass that 8%, that just means, Tony, that you or I and other citizens all across the state would be able to gather petitions, gather enough signatures to contest that and force a rollback election. What's really been discussed is a plan by Governor Greg Abbott, Dan Patrick, House Speaker Dennis Bonin to restrain that 8% down to 2.5%. What we've seen in this poll—
and have an automatic election.
And to have an automatic election, which is really, kind of where the teeth really set in. And what we've seen in this poll is that almost a majority of Texans think that they ought to be able to vote on any tax increase by local government.
So 0%. If you go up 0.001, you want to increase the effective taxes on folks, they ought to have a say. And then there's folks who say, okay, the 2.5, I mean, you start, it stair steps up, of how many people think they ought to have a say on these sorts of things.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You have almost a majority on any taxes whatsoever, and then you have an absolute majority where it comes to the 2.5% increase. And, it's not that crazy of a concept. Right now, what you hear oftentimes from local officials is, we're not increasing your taxes, but then you get a higher bill because they might not have increased the rate. In fact, they might have lowered the rate. But because the appraisals have increased and the effective tax rate has gone down,
they're taking more out of your pocket.
And this isn't something that any Texan would accept with, DirecTV or any cable company if they said, congratulations, you're not going to pay as much as you would have. No, they want real cuts to their bill, and they want real cuts to their property tax bills.
Thanks for that, Kerry. Now let's turn to Brandon Walton's Capitol Bureau Chief for Texas Scorecard. We've heard a lot about fake news out there. The president talks a lot about it. Well,
Certainly.
We've got some examples of it going on here in Texas.
Yes, you really do. So a few weeks ago in the Texas House, constitutional carry legislation, that is Republican priority legislation that would allow permitless carrying of handguns, was declared dead after news reports of an activist, a gun rights activist, supposedly terrorizing legislators, the Speaker of the House's own home while he wasn't there.
Yeah, so basically you get these newspaper articles out there saying, oh man, this guy is going to the doors of these reps when they're not home.
He's like, harassing
and threatening the families. One going so far to say intercepted by DPS. It sounds like a big deal.
Exactly.
Now the facts are coming to light.
The facts are coming out. I mean, you read these stories from these papers, and you have this visual. You have this visual of somebody in camo rolling around, and has a weapon on his shoulder, maybe. New video released, obtained from the Department of Public Safety, the DPS officers that were stationed outside of Speaker Bonin's home. Show a completely different story. I mean, you actually see Chris McNutt, who's the executive director of Texas Gun Rights, a Second Amendment organization here in Texas, being nothing but polite. He actually initiates contact with these officers. He's out in the neighborhood, essentially flyering some of these homes, talking to voters in the area, giving them kind of an update on where constitutional carry legislation is. And he goes up to these DPS officers. He says, hi, I wasn't like planning on going to the house. I see y'all out here, but maybe. And they say, oh, they look at his flyers. They had a friendly conversation.
Yeah, one of the guys even says, hey, yeah, I'll take one of these flyers and put it on Speaker Bonin's door.
Yes.
And McNutt said, you know, I just wanted him to know what we're putting out, you know, on doors and his neighbor's doors and in his community. So here, if you guys want to take and put one up there, that'd be great. And the guy goes, well, can I have one too? I want to learn more about this issue. I mean, it was so friendly that he seemed to have persuaded one of the police officers that, you know, hey, maybe constitutional carry is a good idea.
Right. And so you had Texas Gun Rights and McNutt, who were both involved in that situation, coming out and demanding an apology from Speaker Bonin. And they say that this whole event was blown up in the media as an excuse in order to have a reason not to pass constitutional carry legislation this session. Speaker Bonin's office saying they don't plan on apologizing at all.
Yeah, so really just a very unfortunate deal there where we have tremendous, I guess, dishonesty about mm-hmm. what's going on and blame being put on citizens who, you know, look, it's in the video. We've got the video, and there wasn't anything wrong done there.
Exactly. And another periodic reminder not to read, believe everything you read in the Texas news.
Texas Scorecard Radio is a project of Empower Texans. At texasscorecard.com or empowertexans.com, you can find more news and daily updates from all around the Lone Star State. You can also find updates from Empower Texans and Texas Scorecard on Facebook and Twitter, and follow Empower Texans on Instagram. Texas Scorecard's News Digest goes out weekly via email and monthly in print. Subscribe online and find more information at empowertexans.com. Someone's always keeping score. We think it ought to be the taxpayers.
Well, it's great to welcome on the program this week our good friend, State Representative Jonathan Stickland, Republican state rep from Bedford. Thanks for being on the program.
Yeah, great being here. Thanks, Tony.
Well, you know, I wanted to bring you in and talk about an issue. You're well known in the Texas House as the guy who polices what's called the local and consent calendar. And this is something mm-hmm. that folks outside the Capitol, they say, oh, just don't pay attention to that. That's all just stuff. It's fine stuff. There's nothing wrong going on there. But what you've shown is, hey, the Texas legislature is passing legislation, sometimes very important legislation, via a cattle call with no discussion, you know, no debate. Folks are not reading these bills. This is law being made with really no process.
Yep.
I mean, I was shocked. Tell us about what goes on there. I mean, we got to make listeners understand like how crazy this is.
So there's basically two different paths to passing a bill in the Texas House. One is the general calendar, which I think is the majority of folks. This is how they think the legislature works, where, you know, a bill goes, is written, introduced, goes through committee, goes to calendars, and it's set to be debated on the Texas House floor, where there's, you know, robust debate and discussion, answer questions, and
amendments, you know, offer opportunity to do things with the bill.
Yeah, you can add an amendment. You can strike something out. You can work the bill and shape it you know, to the best of your ability. And then you get a record vote on it individually. And so then the other way is a little kind of dirty secret of the Texas legislature, I think, is what they call the local and consent calendar. And so this is a streamlined process where we're talking about passing literally, you know, over 100 bills normally in one fell swoop. So it takes a matter of minutes as opposed to, you know, grinding it out for hours on the floor in the general calendar. So,
so this stuff hits the floor, and like people may have seen this before, where they're like, okay, let's have the author explain the bill. This bill's good for my community. All right, House bill, blah blah blah. You know, they put it out. Okay, anybody opposed? All right, boom. You know, and the gavel falls. The bill has passed in, who knows, maybe 10
so just
seconds.
To give you an idea, like they line up the next 10 bill authors on the local and consent calendar, and they're standing there ready to go because it moves so fast. So they typically, you know, put up the guy who's the fastest talker, who can move it through, and, you know, it's less than 20 seconds, I would say, for each bill as it's gone through. And so there's
and
no question.
It sounds like an auction. I say it's a cattle call. It's literally kind of an auction kind of format. It feels like an auction.
Yes. And most of the members, frankly, don't know what's happening on the deal. It's presented as a calendar where there's no opposition, and, you know, it's a local bill, maybe in a specific city or a county, you know, something very, very small that's not supposed to impact very many people at all. Like renaming a highway or, you know, something like that is what it's supposed to be. But
and certainly a lot of the stuff on there is that sort of thing.
Right.
But then mixed in there with it, like all of a sudden, boom, hey, this is, you know, there'll be a bill that's got criminal penalties in it, a bill to increase fees.
Statewide.
Statewide stuff that really, you know, ought to be, you know, read and discussed.
Yep. And that's what happened. I mean, I think over the years, as people, you know, for many years, it was chaired by one of the longest serving Democrat in the Texas House, Sempronia Thompson. And, you know, it just became a very bad habit. By the time I got down here, it was overloaded with stuff that frankly should not have been on there. And that's how they passed the mass majority of the bills were going through local consent without any debate. And, you know, that's what members knew. This is a way I could just tack it on and streamline it through the process.
And one of the things that goes on in the legislature that I think outsiders don't appreciate is the level of, like, almost sociopathic bullying and intimidation that goes on in the process. So legislators have bills that they want to pass, and they say, okay, well, if you want to pass your bill, you can't do anything to disrupt legislation that other people are trying to pass. And specifically on this local calendar, it seems like, okay, if you want to have access to the express lane, well, you better not mess up anybody else's access to the express lane. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. Someone referred to it as high school, and I said, no, that's wrong. It's junior high on a good day, frankly.
Yeah, you're right.
They protect this process because so many people are benefiting from it. So there's some old rules in the Texas House rule book that would allow for a member to speak for 10 minutes in opposition to a bill on the local and consent calendar and remove it from the calendar. And then there was one other mechanism where if you get 5 signatures in opposition to a bill on the local and consent calendar, it's supposed to be removed from the calendar too. So, you know, it's gone through the process of committee, and then it goes to local and consent calendars, and then it's placed. And everything here is about time. So the way to kill a bill is to run out of time. And so if you can stop it in a process, a lot of times, especially as we get later in the session, knocking a bill off or stopping it on the local and consent calendar could mean its death warrant.
Sure.
And so, you know, I'm looking at these rules, and frankly, I had seen one other rep do it one time before I got here. Representative David Simpson from East Texas had famously stood up and actually knocked a bill off of local and consent by the chair, Sinfronia Thompson, which is like the biggest no, you can't do that.
You're going to be the subject of retribution. That's the immediate, King's X. You're not allowed to come to use this process for your own, legitimately local things or whatever that you might want to put through that process. You're out. You're permanently out if you mess with the chair of the committee. And interestingly enough, Sinfronia Thompson, we'll see how it goes with a new chair this session. In the past few sessions, this is the longest serving Democrat in the House. I don't know if you knew this. She's the largest, the biggest bill passer of the House. She passes more legislation than anybody else. Any Republican most voters have ever heard of, she passes more bills. How? She has access to this process. But anyway, so David Simpson had done it before. You come in to the legislature a few sessions back, and you start to say, all right, I'm going to actually read this stuff.
Yeah, which was a novel concept. And I was amazed at how out of the norm this was, frankly. Most people didn't have any idea what was even on these calendars. And I remember looking at the first one, and I'm like, man, over half these bills are statewide impact. There's bills to raise fees, raise taxes, increase criminal penalties. Like, people's lives are going to be changed by this legislation. This is not just some, innocuous bill that we're dealing with. This is serious stuff. And, it's going to pass unless somebody does something. So we decided to, kind of turn it into its own little art form and make kind of a career out of knocking it. And the beautiful thing about the rules at the time was someone with a little boldness had the ability to basically become the chairman of local in consent de facto if they're willing to stand up to this bullying and in the process and knock some of these bills off. And that's just what we started to do.
Been interesting. I think I recall we're just getting into the process of this session, this go around. I remember some bills last session being knocked off of their. Then, they get knocked off the local calendar, that process. They go over to the general calendar. They come to the floor and then get voted down, once there's actual debate. Once people read the bill, they're like, wait a second. We're not for this. Wouldn't the infamous the dinghy bill was originally on the local calendar.
Yep. And so there's that example. I will tell you a number of the bills that we've knocked off over the years. The Senate has decided, hey, we're just not going to take it up. So that it's died over in the Senate. There's been a couple that have been vetoed by the governor.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, if you what I worry about, I see this happen in the process. Bills will pass this local and consent calendar on the House. Nobody's read them. Nobody's paid attention to them. There's no debate. It gets over to the Senate. They've got lots of work to do. So they look at it and they say, it's a local bill. It doesn't really matter. So they put it into their local and uncontested calendar. They do the same thing.
Right.
And legislation, like you said, can go all the way up to the governor without anybody really ever paying attention to it.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about thousands of bills and even more when you consider amendments that are added on and everything else. And, sometimes I'm one member out of 150. And so, I can't single-handedly do anything. But one thing I think every member of the legislature should take on the responsibility and the mindset of is, hey, sometimes I just need to wave the flag and hope that reinforcements come.
Sure. And sometimes they show up. I mean, I've seen that happen before.
But they don't if you don't have one person willing to stand. And there's a couple other members who have now started to do it. I've tried to change the culture a little bit and say, hey, this is the rules. It's part of the process. Like, we shouldn't be, bringing retribution. This should be a normal, everyday thing. Members representing their district and working for the legislation they care about and trying to change that culture. I think we're getting there in some ways. I will tell you, today's local and consent calendar, compared to the local and consent calendars when I first got here, night and day difference. Because I think members know now there's somebody and their staff who are reading these bills and you're not going to pull one past them.
Well, and they're not trying to pull the same fast one. Interesting story I think you shared with me about, not everything that gets knocked off this calendar gets a lot of fanfare, because like sometimes there's the full 10-minute debate. You're right. Up there trying to talk this thing for 10 minutes, a little mini filibuster basically to knock these things off of local and consent. Sometimes they're pulled off by the author. Yep. I think there was one the other day that was like, you look at it, you go, this thing doesn't matter, and you find out, wait a second, this is like criminalizing swimming holes.
Yeah, exactly. once you prove to people that you're willing to go all the way on this stuff, it becomes part of the norm. So I've got a number of different members who will come to me and say, hey, will you look at this bill before I even send it to local and consent, because I know if you don't like it, you might pop it and kill the bill. And so it's put us in a really interesting position just from a leverage standpoint of having these conversations and being relevant in the process and kind of getting to say yes or no on some of it. And frankly, I think every member should be doing this regularly. I mean, I think this is the kind of stuff that affects everyday Texans' lives. And, in regards to the local stuff, so everybody's always concerned with my district, House District 92, the cities within that, the people within that. How many of us, regularly travel to work or vacation in other parts of the state? I would argue that a local bill could affect my constituents just as much as someone living there, because they're traveling through it.
Sure.
On a regular basis.
Absolutely. So that's been the argument, a lot of deference in the legislative process over these hotel occupancy taxes. So they'll raise taxes on hotels in some district, and the mentality in the legislature is, oh, well, that's a local bill, that's a local matter, and, just let that rep pass their little local thing. And it's like, wait a second, his constituents aren't staying at the hotels in his district. It's people, it's everybody else's constituents who are traveling through there are paying that tax. So that's kind of a good example of that.
Yep, absolutely. So, I think that Texans need to be aware of the local and consent calendar. I think the more awareness that we can bring to this process, the more people we get invested in even paying attention, because for most of our history, people haven't.
Yeah.
It's been abused. And frankly, someone's got to take on the responsibility of looking at this stuff and asking the tough questions and making sure that it's, being used properly. And not abused.
Yeah, we need more representatives out there. Folks need to be talking to their legislators saying, hey, are you ensuring that legislation that passes through the Texas legislature actually gets debated, that it actually gets read, that they know what they're voting on? And and this is a process where you can say with certainty that often is not happening. And all of the legislators need to be doing more to fix that process. We're running out of time. Tell folks back home, how do they connect with you if they want to learn more about the work you're doing in the legislature?
Well, certainly our website, jonathanstickland.com. Sign up for email updates. And following us on Facebook is a lot of fun. We try and keep it lighthearted and let folks know what's happening on a daily basis. And when something important is going on, we're going to try and let you know so you can be empowered and you can be a part of this process.
Great. Well, appreciate you coming on. Thank you for everything you do. State Representative Jonathan Stickland.
Thanks, Tony.
What are you doing Sunday evening? With the Texas legislative session back in full swing, we're spending our Sundays making sure you are staying informed with Sunday Scorecard, a product of Texas Scorecard TV. Catch the Texas Scorecard team and guests every Sunday at 7:30 p.m. live on the Empower Texans Facebook page to hear the latest news from Austin, D.C., or even your local city governments. That's Sunday Scorecard, live Sundays at 7:30 p.m. throughout the legislative session. You can find show archives and more information at texasscorecard.com. Join the conversation this Sunday evening.
In this week's commentary, Empower Texans CEO Michael Quinn Sullivan makes the case that voters want promise keepers in office.
Looking ahead to the 2020 elections, Donald Trump could easily win Texas for re-election, even as Republicans lose the Texas House. I'm Michael Quinn Sullivan with the Texas Scorecard Radio Commentary. Republican lawmakers should be very concerned. Come November 2020, Texans will be showing up to vote for the greatest promise-keeping politician in modern U.S. history. Love him or hate him, President Donald Trump has been a man of his political word. Taxes cut, regulations slashed, pro-life initiatives enacted, and embassy moved. President Trump has done what he said he would, even in the face of opposition from the media, from the Democrats, and even sometimes from congressional Republicans. As a result, Donald Trump could easily win the Lone Star State, even while Republicans lose the Texas House. This should have Republican legislators worried. After all, what big promises have they kept? What big promises can they point out to excite voters? Yes, they can point to a big bloated budget, and that's about it. The biggest promises Republicans have made for two decades is that they will be the party to control property taxes, reform the system, and cut the burden. To date, they haven't delivered. Just check your own appraisal notice for the evidence. In fact, the big bloated budget unanimously adopted by Republicans and Democrats, growing state government twice the rate of inflation and population, makes it almost impossible for them to now deliver on meaningful and lasting property tax relief. So instead, you're supposed to be excited about getting higher sales taxes for theoretically lower property taxes. I say theoretically because there isn't a guarantee that the Republicans won't turn it into another grow government boondoggle like the Texas business franchise tax, which was also imposed with the promise it would lower your property taxes. Let's be clear. No Texas Republican has ever campaigned on the slogan, "I'll make your taxes grow slower by imposing a new tax." In the 2020 general election, Texans will show up excited about voting for a president who delivered on his promises. The Texas legislature in 2017 removed the option for straight-ticket voting in 2020, which means those excited Trump voters will have to work their way down the ballot, being excited to cast an affirmative vote for each office. So let's think about that ballot. At the top of the ticket is the president. Check. Next comes U.S. Senator John Cornyn. There'll be some slippage, but most of those Trump voters will see the importance of keeping the Senate in Republican hands, if for no other reason than the confirmation of judges. Then it's the U.S. House, and a little more slippage. Who's excited about their congressional critter these days? Next comes the Railroad Commission, which, thanks to the inadequacy of our public schools, no one knows what it does. Hint, it has nothing to do with trains. Then the Texas Supreme Court, three or four of them. Then the Court of Criminal Appeals, also Supreme Court, but for criminal cases. After that, it's the State Board of Education, in a third of the state anyway. And then, finally, you get into the Texas Senate and finally the Texas House races. By this point, it's safe to say that most of the Trump enthusiasm will have evaporated. Of the voters still looking at their ballots, many will ask, what has this person ever done? And for the Texas House, what will that answer be? The go-to slogan for the last decade, "I'm not as bad as a Democrat," is less motivating than it's ever been before, especially given how many Republican legislators have been voting just like the Democrats on issues important to taxpayers. Right now, it's a goose egg session for conservatives. Lawmakers haven't delivered yet on substantial and lasting property tax relief. They haven't delivered on meaningful property tax reform. Indeed, the Texas House leadership has actively gutted it. The Second Amendment legislation? Nothing. School reform? Nothing yet. The list goes on and on and on of what hasn't yet been accomplished. Remember, 85% of Texans don't identify as Republicans or Democrats. They skip the primaries and vote only in the general election. Reaching that 85% is the task of the 15%. If the GOP legislature won't deliver on reforms that excite their base, who do you think will show up and do the work? Do conservative Republicans think bragging about how much pork they grab for the local junior college be enough to motivate grassroots door knockers and phone bankers to give up their fall as political volunteers? Maybe. But probably not. Do they think making even more empty promises for future performance will secure their majority? Depressing supporters and actively opposing the base is rarely a winning strategy. There's just over a month left in the legislative session. Despite commanding majorities in both chambers, the Republicans are delivering table scraps. They must start serving up big policy wins or face the prospect of even bigger general election losses. Texas voters want bold promise keepers, and it's up to Republican lawmakers to deliver. With a Texas Scorecard radio commentary, I'm Michael Quinn Sullivan.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's show. If you want to make sure you never miss a program, go on and subscribe to the Texas Scorecard Radio podcast. We're up on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Spotify. Thanks for listening.
Texas Scorecard Radio is brought to you each week as a public service from the Empower Texans Foundation and in partnership with the Lincoln Institute and this station. You can download podcasts from each program and learn more at empowertexans.com.